So tell me more about Tremors.
Ryan, I take it you have not watched it yet.
I have not. I only learned of it, what, 4 days ago?
What do you mean you only learned it? You didn't know the movie Tremors existed?
Oh
You
no,
did.
you missed this whole discussion.
You didn't know that Tremors existed.
I had never heard of the movie Tremors until my brother-in-law told me I needed to watch it.
The Kevin Bacon classic, Tremors?
Sure. You
Kevin
can tell me
Bacon,
anybody's in it.
the dad from Family Ties, he's in it.
Oh man, that's
Reba
right.
McEntire's in it.
Reba was in some good stuff.
Yeah.
Man, the thing about Tremors is I don't know. I can't tell you if I've ever sat down and watched Tremors from
That's
start to finish.
exactly
What is
what
Tremors?
James Jones said, by the way, too.
Really?
I think that's the same. A lot of people the same with that. And any movie that
Red
was on
Dawn and Tremors.
any movie that was on
30 seconds again,
TBS,
please.
any movie that was on
Siri.
TBS all the time
Yeah.
back in the day,
The Superstation.
I don't think anybody's ever watched, most of those movies
I was in
front to
college
back.
before I watched Shawshank Redemption all the way through because it was on
Oh.
TNT every day.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I guess I probably was too. Now that you mention say that. I have seen Tremors from front to back though. And Tremors is a I guess a science fiction horror or maybe just horror movie about these
Is it actually scary or is it a parody? Are we talking like, is this a Sharknado kind of movie or?
No. It's not that. It's not
It's
as
bad.
in on the joke as Sharknado is.
Right. It's a precursor to those movies that didn't know that it was a precursor to those
Yeah,
movies.
it's also not as like overly serious as some other films, but it's
Right.
not as obvious, hey, this is a joke.
It's not, they don't play it for laughs the whole time.
Right.
And there is some like serious horror to it. But me, someone who could not, like, I do not like horror movies, I could watch Tremors and it's fine. I like Tremors. It's funny because it was one of those movies that used to always play in a Video Plaza on the like previews loop. This is long before it was on TBS. Because it came out in what, 1990?
Sure.
1989?
Man, I
Something
didn't know
like
it was that
that.
recent.
So it was late 80s, early 90s. And I just remember seeing it on there and it's like, man, it looks scary. But then it started playing on TBS and I was like, oh, I've got to see this because it was something I always wanted to watch as, or always saw at the video store as a kid. But it's good. It's worth watching. There is a Tremors 2 and 3, I think. There's a TV show.
It's a whole Tremors expanded universe.
Yeah. It's basically they took the sandworms from Dune and made a horror movie out of it on
Yeah.
Earth.
See, Dune. Okay, so there's the movie Dune. I used to get really confused with Tremors.
Yeah.
I
Yeah,
think it's
right?
because of the same worms.
What's hilarious is, yeah, because the worm design is very similar between the two things. What's hilarious is the first time I ever watched Dune on Sci-Fi Network, I was probably 13, 14. And I was like, oh, these are like the things from Tremors. Little did I know, Dune is from 1964 and
Right.
would later go on to be my favorite book ever.
That's the difference is that one has Kevin Bacon and is very much late 80s, and the other one is definitely not late 80s. Like,
What if I told you that there is a Tremors Island Fury movie coming out in 2020?
Oh, I knew that.
Is Kevin
I knew
Bacon in
that.
that? I did not know that.
There are, let's see, five, six. This will be the eighth and seventh installment in the movie. Yeah, seventh installment of the series.
Well, folks, let us know if you want us to watch Tremors and discuss with Ryan Starrett. It doesn't have to be a whole pod like the Captain Ron, I don't
Should
think.
I just only watch the newest one?
No, God, no. Watch the original with Kevin, the Baconator.
Oh yeah. Ryan, it's a good one. It's like that'd be like me saying, man, I just heard about Top Gun the other day.
Ryan, have you ever
Also has
seen
a
Top
2020
Gun?
sequel coming out.
Have you ever
Yes,
seen
I have
Top?
seen Top Gun.
Okay.
What's the movie where Chief. This is another one of those films that I've probably seen bits of enough times to where I've seen the
Right.
movie 12 times.
Roadhouse is another one of those kind of movies.
Yes. What's the movie where all of the trucks and appliances.
I thought of this exactly when he said it, because it's like the same kind of movie.
Same movie.
Maximum Overdrive.
Yes. Oh, heck yeah.
Stephen King, screenplay, AC/DC like soundtrack, recorded songs specifically for it. It is amazing. I love that movie. It's so good.
AC/DC is better than the Beatles. You've heard it here first, guys.
That's a strong statement. I like them better than the Beatles.
There's not one AC/DC song that I would skip, especially on a bicycle ride. If I'm on my bike and AC/DC comes on, forget what my personal record is. It's getting beat today.
There is no song.
It's a crew better. Iron Man is what I'm hearing.
Sure.
There's no better like intro song for a sporting event than Thunderstruck.
Oh, for sure. Here's what's funny.
It just builds and builds and builds.
I saw AC/DC live in the Pepsi Center in Denver in 2009.
Oh man.
And a buddy of mine and I went. I got tickets for my birthday or something. A buddy of mine and I went, and Pepsi 08. And he came to the conclusion. He goes, you know what's funny about AC/DC is that Back in Black is a slow song.
Yeah.
Like, that's their slowest song. And they don't take any breaks in the concert. The concert starts and it is boom. Here is a full throttle rock song hitting you in the chest. Song ends, next one, hit you in the chest again. Song ends, next one, hit you in the, like, they don't, there's no break. It is an hour and a half. They played for 2 hours. And it was just bam, hit. It was incredible. It was like getting beat up.
So your next two quarantine movies, Ryan, Tremors, Maximum Overdrive.
I'll have to look.
Maybe AC/DC live at Donington.
Yeah, there we go.
That's a great one. I had it on DVD back when I owned DVDs. Yeah, AC/DC live at Donington. It was a 1992 concert, Ryan. It is insane. weird about that band too is that their lead singer has changed 3 times. It doesn't matter because the band is based on the rhythm guitarist and the lead guitarist and the drummer. That is the band.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, Jack Black's lead singer now.
I think actually it's Axl Rose.
No, it's not.
Yeah, no joke. I looked it up the other day because the guy who was the lead singer for like since Back in Black, since that album, retired because his voice is just getting shot.
Yeah.
And I think Axl Rose stepped in the last
couple of tours. That's correct.
And I want to say Malcolm Young, the rhythm guitarist, has passed away. But Angus is still alive.
Angus is still with them.
Which, as long as Angus Young is playing guitar, it's still AC/DC. That's what AC/DC is.
Yeah, I agree. Bon Scott was the original singer that died pretty early on in the band's career. Australian, too. I used to think they were British.
Well, the lead singer that took over for Bon Scott is British.
Okay.
So.
But everyone else is Australian, correct?
Yeah, Bon Scott is Scottish-born Australian.
That's not surprising.
And he died, and I will... Anybody want to take a guess on how he died?
Drugs.
Okay, Ryan?
Oh, yeah, drugs.
Yeah, exactly.
Or is it a plane crash? That's another popular musician thing.
No, it was drugs.
Yeah. Was it in a plane?
No, he was just
okay.
Yeah.
Man alive.
They. I mean, like every single one of their songs is either about partying, rock and roll.
Their balls.
Well, yeah, sex. That's it. Party, rock and roll, sex. That's it. That's the only 3 topics that they sing about.
It's the perfect rock band.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. Well.
All right. So that's a good start to the podcast. Hit the theme, Jack.
Back, run like a wild man.
I watched you struggle, and I watched you wrestle with them angels.
Here he is. From Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
All right, so we actually have an acute alcohol poisoning, and maybe a heroin overdose, but officially acute alcohol poisoning. He died of pulmonary aspiration, as they say, which is
I recall the alcohol on his own vomit. It's a famous that he had alcohol poisoning.
Yes,
that's correct. I remember that now.
So, but the last song that he wrote before he died was You Shook Me All Night Long, which he never recorded.
Great song.
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, man, that song rules. They have like 50 songs that are just hammer down, punch you in the teeth, rock songs.
Fort Payne had all black football uniforms, and they were played back in black when they came out to those. It was great moments in my childhood.
Spencer Hall was the one who somebody was talking about. What's an album where the last song on the album is the best song on the album? And
yeah.
Mm-hmm. He mentioned Let There Be Rock. And the last song on Let There Be Rock is A Whole Lot of Rosie, which is a song about a really big girl that Bon Scott is in love with. And that song rules. And it's just, it's a 100 mile an hour jam that just ends. And the album's over. And like, holy cow, like you're so sweaty when the song's over just listening to it.
How many other bands have the biggest rock band in the world use their song as part of their like warm up going out? Metallica uses It's a Long Way to the Top to Rock and Roll like during their like pregame thing. They like play that, then they play Ecstasy of Gold, and then they're out there and they're playing their music. Every concert.
According to Wikipedia, Motorhead uses the Back in Black album to tune their sound system.
Yeah.
What's wild about Back in Black, and this is the weird thing about that album.
Used.
Would use.
You could listen to Back in Black at the exact same volume as any other album in the world, and Back in Black will sound louder.
Sure.
I don't know what it is about that. I think it's the mixing, but for some reason, you've got to turn it down. Like it is just a louder noise than everything else that's ever been recorded. I love it.
Yeah. It's great. All right.
So we got show notes tonight, even though we had no sports. We are now 40 days since sports in the United States, I believe.
Is that our new calendar?
I believe that's right.
It's already been over a month.
Man. I think it's 40 days since Rudy Gobert tested positive for coronavirus, which I think was the last like time anybody decided to play sports.
Yeah, yeah. It basically got shut down over the like 48-hour period after that. Yeah.
You know what's funny is he's like a 2-time defensive player of the year that will be remembered forever by being the guy that got coronavirus.
Well,
also, and then rubbing it on the mics.
Yeah, the guy that was an idiot about it.
Speaking of which, Chief, did you see the German soccer news today?
No.
The Bundesliga, apparently, there are talks that it might resume play as early as May the 9th.
Oh, wow. So I saw... You know, that they're like, we're finishing this season behind closed doors, and they're probably going to play like 2 games a week.
Yeah, because, bro, they're going to fold like half the league if they don't finish the year.
Right, right. That's the big issue with most of those soccer leagues, because they spend so much money in salaries.
Yeah.
Especially the Premier League. The Premier League's kind of keeping it quiet, but I think they're screwed too. Like, they have to have the money. Why would any of their sponsors pay them if they're not playing?
Oh, yeah.
And they're paying these players so much money that, like, most of them – in Manchester United will be fine because they make more in merchandise than anything else. But there's not a lot of teams that will be.
Look at, like, what's this going to do? Like, listen to some guys talking about the Cowboys. The Cowboys have not signed Dak Prescott. They franchise tagged him, which means he's under contract.
Right.
But he's threatening to, like, not play. He wants a new league. He wants to be the highest paid player in the league, basically, which is what happens with quarterbacks when it's their turn and they're starting. They become the highest paid player in the league until the next guy comes up.
Yeah,
so Dak would be the highest paid player in the league for like 6 weeks and then maybe somebody else. However, the Cowboys are not about to sign him to some $40 million a year deal if there's not going to be any fans coming to games this year.
Right.
Because the cap will go down. Like, there's no revenue. He is asking for a contract based on the old economy, and the old economy doesn't exist anymore. And so he got totally screwed by not signing the deal they offered him the last time. Because there's no one's going to be on his side. If Dak is like, man, the boss is just doing me wrong, everybody's going to go, hey, Joker, everybody else lost their jobs. Why don't you take your $30 million a year offer they offered you 6 weeks ago? Anyway.
Just go pay Cam anyways.
I mean, yeah, then you'll get Cam. Then you'll get one of the other 50 guys that can come to the job. So we got NFL. That is as much NFL as I have ever talked on this podcast. But unfortunately,
we're going to keep going.
That was a professional podcasting segue.
We're going to talk about NFL recruiting, your favorite.
So let's combine professional football and recruiting, Ryan.
Your with top two favorite things in the world, bro.
Now, I will say there's a decent chance the Cowboys might pick up an Auburn Tiger this year. I'm thrilled about that because there's a couple of Auburn Tigers that slotted might fit where the Cowboys are drafting and fit positions in need.
So you're talking about Aaron Sipos?
Well, I hope. No. Actually, look, I always got him an Aussie punter. Oh. But I'm talking about Marlon Davidson and Noah Igbinoghene. Igbinoghene play here anymore.
Sound it out.
That was an Office Space reference, Ryan, and I don't know if you've ever seen that film either.
Oh, God. Ryan, seriously.
I've seen Office Space.
Okay, good.
Whew. That is in my top five comedies of all time, Office Space is. Love it.
It's genius. Mike Judge is a genius. So
yes.
Who is going to be the first Auburn Tiger off the board, Ryan?
Derrick Brown.
Bad me. Derrick Brown.
Sing the song, girl.
Well, I don't know what the next line would be. Bad.
Derrick Brown.
The
best.
Chasing all of these runners down.
QBs down?
Yeah, chasing all these QBs down.
Probably need to workshop this one a little more.
Yeah.
Well, so he'll actually be the first top 10 defensive player Auburn's had since, can anybody name it?
Carl Rogers.
Carl.
Something like that.
Carl Rogers. Wait, what's his name? Not a top 10 draft pick?
Nick Fairley?
Yeah, Nick Fairley?
No, he wasn't. My first guess was Carlos. Ryan asked this in the Slack the other day, but I decided to swerve and go with Nick Fairley just because, and I was wrong.
Nick Fairley, it might be Derrick Brown going to the Lions.
Ugh, why? Sorry, Nate.
Detroit's turning into Auburn North.
Perfect. That's what
we already got. Carry on, Casey Myers.
Actually, I don't think any Auburn fan, Detroit Lions, would be too upset with me being upset with one of our players going there, because man, what a sad franchise.
Perpetually rebuilding. Perpetually, just.
I mean, yeah. I mean, when I say sad, I mean I actually feel sorry for him.
Yeah, you'd be better. You almost be better off being a Browns fan, because at least the Browns fan, everybody laughs about it. The Lions are irrelevant.
Yeah,
no one even thinks about the Lions.
Yeah, they had maybe
Lions' last playoff win was in 1992.
They had
against Ryan against
your Dallas Cowboys.
Dallas Cowboys?
No.
Oh.
Yes. Really? 38-6 victory over your Dallas Cowboys in the Pontiac Silverdome. Not just a win, a beatdown.
In 1992? I thought
the Cowboys won the Super Bowl in 1992.
Yeah, I thought
it would have been the 1991 season.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes, yeah. You're right.
The game took place in 1992.
Right. This was the Cowboys' lot.
Green Bay. Did Green Bay win the 92 Super Bowl? Who won the 92 Super Bowl?
That would have been the Giants beat the Bills.
You're right. That's one of those years.
I think.
Ryan, the Bills made the Super Bowl like 100 times, and
am I right about that?
Couldn't win.
The Redskins.
The Skins?
Yeah,
three different NFC East teams beat the Bills in Super Bowls.
Man.
Everybody but the Eagles beat the Bills in Super Bowls in the early 90s, because the Eagles were terrible. Man, yeah, so that was Troy Aikman and those dudes' first playoff game.
Yeah, right. They were going to win the 93 Super Bowl, correct?
Correct.
And 94.
The 94 and the 96.
90, yes.
So we're looking at like 7 or 8 Tigers that could get drafted this Thursday. I figured instead of sitting here and talking about how they'll fit in the NFL, because we don't really care, do we? Let's just talk about our favorite memories of each of these guys.
Sure.
And in an Auburn uniform. So do you want to go in order from just top to bottom?
In order, that's good.
Jump around. All right, we'll start with Derek Brown then. What is your Derek Brown memory?
There was a couple of plays in the Oregon game last year that was just like...
The Washington game?
No, the Oregon game last year.
Oh, yeah. That's right. We did play Oregon. I keep forgetting that. Every time somebody says Oregon game, I'm like, the national championship?
No. Somehow we beat potential number one overall pick, Justin Herbert.
Yes, that's right.
Which if they draft him number one overall, somebody's
going to
get fired.
They're not going to.
They're going to overthink Tua in the hip and draft Herbert over Tua, and they're going to be idiots.
Well, yeah, but there's also Joe Burrow to go number one.
That's yeah, I don't think I'd draft Tua over Burrow, to be honest.
No, although, but you watch. There's going to be some idiot who picks Herbert over Tua.
Hmm.
Well, we're here to talk about Derek Brown.
And Derek Brown was in the backfield of that game the entire game. And that was kind of I knew he was so good, and we talked about how good he was the year before. But I can't remember what the exact play was. Did he have a fumble recovery in that game?
In the Oregon game?
Yeah.
I don't know. I can check.
Yeah,
I know he had quite a few of them.
I'm going to have a real hard time picking any specific moments about any of these players, just to be honest with you.
No, just anything that stands out. It doesn't have to be necessarily your favorite, but just – what comes to mind when you think of these guys? So, I mean, there's Derek Brown throwing the offensive lineman into Joe Burrow.
Oh, yeah.
There's him.
Man, that was good, too.
Getting sniped in Gainesville this year.
I just remember them never getting a hold called.
Yeah, there's that.
Him and Marlon both.
He recovered a fumble in his very first game against Clemson in 2016.
Wow.
Yeah.
There was a rotating quarterback game.
I remember
that. Oh, yeah. What a fun.
I remember that game.
Yeah. He also forced a fumble in the 2017 Iron Bowl win.
Yes, I do remember that.
I mean, he's had so many big plays over these 4 years. I mean, right. He's played in every game since he's been on campus.
Yep.
He's been a starter for 3 years.
I mean, that's what I – if you want to know what I remember about him, I just remember him being a workhorse and playing more than half the defensive snaps in pretty much every game that he was on campus for. And
you couldn't run by him. Like he could be double-teamed. He could be on the wrong side of the offensive lineman, and he was going to get that arm out there and bring down the running back.
Right.
And that wasn't like, I remember a couple times. It was every game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, he was a guy that, I mean, he required a double team, but then he had another guy on there that also required a double team. You would think that would lead to a lot more penetration at other spots, but it didn't, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Sorry to be Debbie Downer. sorry to bring it down.
Well, anything else?
No, I can't. I mean, just him coming back and being all about coming back.
Yeah,
was a huge deal too.
Yeah, he could have. Could he have gone last year? He could have left last year, right?
Yeah, he Marlon Davidson. Yeah, all those guys came back.
Yeah, so he could have gone and he came back and I mean that was big. I mean, because he could have made a lot of money last year too.
Yeah, he would have been a first round pick last year. Oh, probably not sure. Top 10.
But now he's a top 10. So
yeah,
he made himself
so much off the field too at Auburn. I mean, it's not like he was just he's a really good football player. I mean, he won all sorts of the like character awards, and he was on the student athlete councils and like working with the conference. I mean, he was like everything you can check off. Like if going to the NFL actually required a resume, a literal paper resume,
right?
His would just be massive.
Yeah, honestly, that probably helps his draft stock as much as his sure. play.
Yeah, whoever drafts him doesn't have to worry about him. They know
here's
he's
the thing
there to.
About well, he's going to. He's going to. That's so weird is that because there hasn't been a combine, there haven't been like a ton of in-person interviews. They can't really do a ton of the normal research.
Right.
They do have these guys. The dudes without red flags are going to go higher. Like, people are going to be real like hesitant to draft a guy they didn't do due diligence on because they didn't have the ability to. They couldn't get on campus. They couldn't do the normal stuff they get to do. So it wouldn't shock me if guys like Jared Brown go even higher than they would in a normal year just because teams aren't going to have to worry about their character or whatever. Like, look, this guy's a sure bet. Let's take him.
Well, he's got the kind of guy that'll within a year or two in the league, he'll be a captain on whatever team he's on, written on him. And that's great. And it'll be nice to have one of those guys representing Auburn in the NFL.
I'm just looking at some of his old highlights. We posted a draft profile on College Magnolia this week. And I always forget about this one, but remember in the Peach Bowl against UCF, he had the basically a form tombstone pile driver against the running back.
Yes.
I laugh every time I see this video.
All right, so who is next? Marlon Davidson?
Yeah, let's go ahead and go to Marlon.
Potential future Dallas Cowboy Marlon Davidson?
Yeah.
That'll be a Cowboys jersey that I buy, by the way. I haven't bought a Cowboys jersey since Michael Irvin. So, excited about that.
If the Cowboys signed Cam and drafted Marlon Davidson, what would your reaction be?
I'd probably get a Marlon Davidson jersey.
I'd break out my old Cowboys gear from when I was like 6 years old.
I got a Michael Irvin jersey still to this day, but that I did not get. It's not the original one that I bought when I was a child. I found it in a flea market in Rwanda and decided I have to have it.
My uncle went to seminary out in Texas during the Cowboys rise to power, and so he got me a lot of Cowboys gear. He was a big Cowboys guy.
Oh, yeah.
Funny enough, big Emmitt Smith fan, Baptist preacher, big Emmitt Smith fan. That doesn't seem to be very congruous.
Hey, man, lapsed Baptist, big Emmitt Smith fan. Lapsed not because I don't go to church. Lapsed because I'm not really a Baptist anymore.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Marlon Davidson, to me, I'm always going to remember his Defensive Player of the Year race with Derrick Brown. They were making something that is so difficult. Being the best player of the week each week in a conference where there are NFL players up and down defenses.
Right.
They were making a game within the game of who's going to be the SEC Defensive Player of the Week. And that's amazing to me.
Well, that's what I'm going to remember both of these guys for. It's been so long since we had defensive guys win those awards on a consistent basis like that. And they just won them every week. It's just like every week an Auburn guy was going to be on that list.
Ryan, you should type closer to your microphone.
Yeah, yeah, you should slam those keys.
You sound like you're at the dadgum airport.
Is that a mechanical keyboard?
It's probably about as old as I am.
He's booking tickets.
What are you doing over there, Ryan?
I'm just looking up some things from Marlon.
Look it up.
That's what I'm going to remember about both of these guys is that they did something that we haven't seen in a while from Auburn guys and have really consistent defensive performances week in and week out for a whole season.
When was the last time?
They were the best.
Is Ryan and Cadillac the closest comp to this? Like where you had two players in similar positions that were head and shoulders above anybody else at those positions in the conference?
Yeah, I guess so.
And not just on our team. I don't know if there's any other team, like maybe Trent Richardson and Mark Ingram or...
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, at the same time, I guess Georgia had some running backs that are pretty good. But is there, like, at the same time, like two players on the same team that were the two best at those at that position in the conference?
Yeah, I can't think of any other examples.
Tim Tebow, Cam Newton.
Marlon, too, is that he came in as a freshman and started day one.
Yeah.
Right.
He started every game of his career, as far as I can tell. And that's unheard of for 4 years in the SEC
Why did we not ever call them Defense Ronnie and Caddy until today? What are we doing having a podcast?
I don't know.
Give it to somebody else.
Great question. Well, that would take a deeper level of analysis and introspection on our team than we usually offer, I think.
That's true.
Come on, Ferg. It's his job.
Yeah.
All right. Next.
Let's see. You want to go to Iggy?
Noah Igbinoghene, potential future Cowboy.
This Cowboy's going to get all these guys?
No, just those two. Those two are both kind of in the sweet spot and positions of need on the Dallas Cowboys.
So he's interesting because he didn't even come in as a defensive player. He will probably be a first or second round pick as a corner.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to remember about him is that he was a wide receiver and then he converted to cornerback and almost immediately was the best corner we had.
Yeah, he didn't have a red shirt or anything. Take a year to get used to it. He just like, oh, I'll play corner.
We literally had that conversation on one of our first podcasts. We talked about how, okay, the fact that this dude just moved to the position and is already starting means either A, he's really good at this position and is a natural, or B, we have huge problems. And turned out it was A. Definitely. He actually was.
We had other draft picks at corner.
Yeah.
I mean, Jamel Dean got drafted last year. Javaris Davis is probably going to get drafted this year. And Diggy might have been the best one of the three. He wasn't perfect by any means, but he stuck to guys better than anybody we've had in a couple of years. And with his speed and athleticism, he wasn't ever getting beat deep either. I specifically remember a conversation, and I don't remember which show it was on, but I think it was one of the – maybe the Drive in Auburn. And they were talking about Iggy, and I think it was a fall camp. And before we knew he was really going to be a starter, like, well, you know, there's been rumblings out of camp that, you know, he just likes to hit. And, you know, that's what Kevin Steele likes, is a corner that's going to come in and hit. And I don't know if his wide receiver can do that, but that's what they're saying.
Sure enough, he. I was trying to think of an analogy to use there.
Okay.
Well, I mean, it's similar to Rudy Ford. He played running back for a year or two, and then he went over to secondary, and
Trevon Reed
was one of the best safeties in the conference right away.
Trevon Reed still playing somewhere, or was in the XFL at one point.
I feel like Darren Bates swapped positions like five times while he was all over, too.
Dude, Darren Bates is still in the league.
I know.
That's wild, man. Like, he's still in the league.
It's a pretty good follow on Twitter, too, if you
give him a one.
Iggy took to the position like a duck to water.
There he is.
Better late than never.
That's that pro.
Even better than the ducks.
Yeah. Ryan, that was the most dad joke of all time.
Yeah.
Nice work.
I feel like I've done better.
Ah, man.
So he'll be a late first, probably early second round guy. But it's been a while since Auburn's had even a first round pick. It's been since 2014, so we've had a first round pick. So we could have three. This week, pretty amazing. All on defense too.
Yeah. Well, God bless Kevin Steele.
Yeah. When was the last? Who was the last offensive first round pick? Was it Cam? No,
Greg Robinson. He was the last first round pick.
Jeepers creepers.
Man alive.
That's probably an issue.
Was that 8 years ago? 7 years ago?
That was 2014 draft. 6 years.
Long time.
Had a bunch of second rounders. But Greg Robinson and D Ford were the last first rounders.
I think like that might hurt your old recruiting. I don't know.
Well, it doesn't help it, Chief.
No, it's just certainly not.
That's so funny. All right. So, next, as they say in New Zealand.
What?
Next, Prince Tega Winogo.
We discussed this last time we were on the pod.
Dang it.
And in the Slack about 30 minutes ago.
Yeah. Prince Tega is like the big, it's crazy. See, he's like one of the big stories of the draft.
I mean, he's an unbelievable story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. But they're like running commercials with him in them. I saw last night watching The Last Dance. They ran a Prince Tega's commercial for the draft.
I've seen this one yet.
By the way, Last Dance, phenomenal.
Amazing. Is it the best sports documentary ever?
I've only seen the first episode.
No, I've seen the first two.
It is so freaking good.
Yeah.
So, I've already put it up there with like the U and Pony XS. Right. It's at least the best ESPN's ever done.
Yeah.
And I'm not Mr. Michael Jordan is Hung the Moon guy either. And I still am like all about it.
It's amazing. The word derailing. Sorry, Ryan. I think one of the better parts about it is like everyone is watching it. Like everyone is coming together on the internet and watching it. And it's cool to have a thing like that, because we have so few of those things. Tiger King's probably the closest thing that we've had in a long time. There's groups of people that watch WrestleMania on Twitter. There's groups of people that watch Game of Thrones or stuff like that. But
yeah,
this is like everybody is
freaking
watching.
Everybody. Yeah.
All races, creeds, and cultures are watching this thing.
It's true.
Wait, it's Jordan guy. Man. He's no LeBron James.
Oh my God.
Well, I'll tell you one thing Jordan never did was take a team that second best player was Zydrunas Ilgauskas to the NBA Finals.
Wait, whoa. Mo Williams.
The transition here was supposed to be that Taker wanted to be the next LeBron James.
Dude, it is. Man. One thing about it is I really think one thing I feel sorry for about the kids who are getting drafted is that getting drafted and being a professional athlete in 2020 after watching the first episode of, The Last Dance, it's like it was not as hard to be a pro athlete back then. Like,
well,
it wasn't 24 hours TMZ. Like,
right.
We didn't know anything about Michael Jordan. We just knew he was on Haynes commercials and played for the Bulls. That's it.
Michael couldn't have just lived in that apartment or that townhouse he had by himself with his mom visiting him every now and then.
Famous man alive at the time.
I'm shocked that they even have any like footage. They have somehow have some footage of him there. And I think they're probably fudging with some of it. Some of it's probably from later, like not his first year, but he's still living there and stuff like that. But still, like, it's crazy. It's crazy that this footage has been there all along and people haven't seen it.
No, it's unbelievable, man. Because he's notoriously like really stingy with himself. And like, he doesn't let anybody see anything about himself.
I mean, I feel like people should most athletes should be like that. I don't have a problem.
Well, he is the archetype, right? Of like the Derek Jeter type guy. Like, you know anything about Derek Jeter?
No.
Like, those guys like that you just don't ever hear anything about. They don't do interviews. You don't know anything about them.
But like you said, that's how
Tom Brady. Like, what do I know about Tom Brady? I don't know anything.
Tom Brady does a little bit more. And
he'll
do stuff like that documentary thing with Peyton Manning. I don't know if it's a documentary, but playing golf together.
But look at the difference of him and Peyton Manning. Like, Peyton Manning is on TV.
Does everything.
Front, right, and center. Yeah, he's hosting SNL. I guess Michael Jordan hosted SNL too a couple times. But
later in his career.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting how closed off he was and was able to be versus now. Like, now people probably hate that dude just because of how big of a jerk he actually was. Or he wouldn't be allowed to be as big of a jerk.
Or would he just be the weird guy like Kawhi Leonard?
He's Gus Malzahn.
No, dude, he's like punching teammates. You can't punch a teammate in 2020 in practice.
Yeah,
he punched Chris. He punched Steve Kerr in the face during practice. You can't do that in 2020.
I don't know. I think guys probably still get in fights.
Dude, do you remember the Bulls? The two Chicago Bulls who got in a fight a couple of years ago and they had to cut one of them or trade him?
That's right.
Because they were screaming, "I'll kill you," at each other? Yeah. People heard about that while it was happening on Twitter.
That's like my high school summer pickup games.
Yeah, exactly. It's hard out there in the streets, Fort Payne, Alabama.
Yeah, man, it is.
It's even harder when you're coming from Nigeria, though, right?
Speaking of Nigeria, Noah Igbinoghene had two parents who were Olympians for Nigeria, and Prince Tega Winogo.
Winogo. Winnebago?
I'm going to say it right before the end of this podcast. So is Tega going to be a first-round pick? No, we have him at third.
Yeah, he'll probably be a second or third.
But he's left tackle, so you never know.
It's true.
Yeah.
I think he
wasn't even playing football as of, 5 years ago?
Yeah.
For his first time?
He's being drafted based on his raw, unmolded athletic ability, I believe, is what's going to happen here.
I mean, he wasn't a bad left tackle.
In size.
Right. Yeah. But he wasn't a great left tackle either. And that's
he was best offensive lineman Auburn had last year.
He graded out really well.
Right.
No, he really did. He graded out really well.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
As did Jack Driscoll.
Who's also going to be get picked in this draft,
good,
right?
Good round guy. Do we want to hit more on Tega, or are we moving on?
I mean, I don't have a best moment of any of the offensive linemen.
He's royalty, right?
Sure is.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
I mean, there were the much maligned Auburn offensive line of the last couple of years had some bright spots, we have to admit. And those were Jack Driscoll and Prince Tega. I mean, those guys were solid.
Yep. And I'm both going to get drafted, so that's cool for them.
Another guy, let's move on right along to Javaris Davis. Javaris Davis, remember when he first started at Auburn? Everybody was like, this dude's the fastest man alive.
Yeah.
Like, he was the first. Too. He was the first, like, fastest dude on the team by a mile.
Before Auburn got actual Olympic hopefuls on the team.
Right, yeah. Before Auburn went like, let's just get the fastest guys in the country on the team. And he's been playing, he played for Auburn like since his freshman year.
Yep.
Yeah, he redshirted and then he played for 4 years. He was actually, he was on the team when Will Muschamp was DC.
Wow. Yeah.
Was he recruited by Ellis Johnson?
He was probably.
Freshman in 2015.
Yeah. He would have been.
He's seen it all.
Unless he was a like late flip that we got with Boom and that other guy that used to play for us. And I can't remember his name anymore because he's not here.
But yeah, I mean, he's had a long career. He kind of was the utility guy for the secondary the last 2 years playing nickel.
Yeah.
He was a starter. So, I mean, he was one of your two best corners last few seasons, but yeah, I guess because of his size too, he got moved inside. But let's see how many.
He's
didn't have any interceptions. Never had a career interception. How about that?
Yeah, that's shocking. But we didn't have a lot of picks as a team.
No, we didn't. We had a lot 2 years ago, but not this year, right?
We had more with Muschamp than we do.
For
sure.
So that's interesting. He actually forced three fumbles at 5'10". Hang on. I'm looking at Marlon Davidson's page. That's the issue.
Marlon Davidson is not at 190 pounds. He's got a leg that might be.
So he had two interceptions each season, 8 total. That's more like it.
Okay. So he had 8 interceptions as a career?
Yeah. Okay. So this past year he had one against Minnesota and Arkansas. 2018 he had Purdue and Arkansas. He beat up on Arkansas.
Amazing.
And sophomore year, he had Mississippi State and ULM. And another one against Arkansas as a freshman. 3 career interceptions against Arkansas.
Yeah, he loves playing the Hogs. As do I. Next.
We're going to
Nick Coe. Slow radio here. Nick Coe.
Nick Coe.
Another guy who came back, right?
Yeah, so he was back in position to probably be a second or third round pick last year and came back with Marlon and Derek Brown. Didn't raise his stock this year.
May have dropped.
Yeah, he was one. I mean, even as a freshman, I remember being excited about him because he was the All-State wrestler and just impossible to block. He had moments. He wasn't a bad player by any means, and he's still looked at as a late round draft pick. But I don't think he ever really reached his potential at Auburn.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. That sadly, that's probably what I'm going to remember about him the most. Yeah.
Which, I mean, I think I remember that he was obscenely talented.
Certainly.
And, has an opportunity to be a really good NFL player. He could be like a Jay Ratliff, where he almost has a better NFL career than he did a college career.
Sure.
So the Ole Miss game in 2018, he had 3.5 sacks. That's kind of his defining moment of...
It was a heck of a game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was against... Yep. They had a first-round draft pick left tackle that year, didn't they? I think I remember that being like a statement thing for him.
I want to say they were not very good, though.
I don't think they were either. Let's see.
That's a good guess with Ole Miss. What year was it? Well, look, I'm just going to guess they weren't very good.
Yeah, they had Greg Little, who went second-round fifth pick last year. So, that game, I'm sure that game is probably still playing on his highlight reel for scouts.
You just need that one. You just need one game to play on your highlight reel, and then scouts can find it. I mean, it just takes, that's the weird thing about the NFL draft. It just takes one team who goes, yeah, that's it. That's my guy. No matter what.
He had a fumble recovery against Washington in Atlanta. And didn't he almost took that thing to the house, didn't he?
Yes, that's right.
That's gonna be the player.
Yeah, that was awesome. He didn't quite make it though.
Yeah. Much like Derek Brown this year.
What game was that where Derek Brown had the fumble recovery?
Florida.
That's what I thought. Man,
we had two fumble recoveries in that game. And the second one was open space in front of him and then pulled a Cam Pettway. Didn't get hurt, but.
Yeah, not a full Cam Pettway, Ryan.
Yeah.
Bringing back old ghosts. Y'all remember the time that John Franklin III started at quarterback for Auburn against Vanderbilt?
Oh, Jesus.
Hey, beat Vanderbilt.
Technically, he gets the win. He started quarterback.
Yeah, more than Chris Todd ever did.
Hey. Beat Vanderbilt?
Yeah.
Chris
Todd played in that game in 08, or is that just Cody?
I'll tell you what, Chris Todd never accepted a LinkedIn invitation. I tried to befriend him on LinkedIn, never accepted it.
Right, Ryan, he did, in fact, play in that game. He played in that game because the first half we decided to play Tony Franklin's offense and with, I believe, Mr. Cody Burns.
But you guys are mixing your ears up. John Franklin III did not play Tony Franklin.
No, we're talking about
2018. He asked about Daniel.
Chris Todd.
The better Daniel Cobb. He asked about Chris Todd. I'm talking about that.
Am I not supposed to talk about the guy who's number two, I believe, all time on single season Auburn passing still?
Yeah. No, that game, we played Tony Franklin's offense the first half and then played Hugh Nall's offense the second half, what he wanted to do, and we lost the game. So, anyway.
Who had more passing yards against Vanderbilt, Chris Todd or John Franklin?
John Franklin. No, it's Chris Todd. There's no way it's John Franklin.
Let's see if I can find it.
It's Chris Todd.
John Franklin III, I think, is in the NFL.
No, he's not.
He was for a while. He was a corner for the Bucks.
No.
It's the Bucks.
Man. The Bucks will sign anybody.
No, I believe he's John Franklin III is an American football wide receiver for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
As a wide receiver, okay.
Currently in the league as a wideout. He's really fast.
Chris Tide threw for 70 yards, 8 for 16, 70 yards in 2008. Sean White threw for 106 yards in the game that John Franklin started. And then John Franklin went 2 for 4 for 9 yards.
Yeah.
See, John Franklin III is really fast and can really carry a football. I mean, when he played for Auburn and ran the ball, he ran the ball really well. It was never when he that ran out of bounds
before the with the first down marker in sight and didn't even he just ran out of bounds in front of it.
And he was a decent little receiver for Florida Atlantic. The issue was for some reason he decided he wanted to play quarterback, and I could never like it just didn't make any sense.
I guess when guys get a taste of it, they don't want to let it go.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, somebody needed to stop him and go, listen, you could be a millionaire at receiver. And now he is, I guess. Well, at least he's in the league. I don't know if he's a millionaire. Not everybody makes $1 million in the NFL.
Didn't he get into a fight with a certain basketball player?
Kareem Canty?
Yeah.
Allegedly. This is all alleged.
Allegedly.
This is all casually libelous at this point.
And there's your John Franklin segment.
That's what you came in here for an NFL draft segment, and you got a John Franklin segment. And now we're going to get a Daniel Thomas segment.
Are we going to get a break segment?
Oh, yeah, let's take a break before Daniel Thomas at 51 minutes and 12 seconds.
Oh, God.
Guys, this podcast is going way longer than I expected. 51 minutes and 19.
You started talking about Jordan.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It's a little late in the pod, but you could probably go ahead and hit that button in your podcast app that cuts out all the dead air.
I don't know if the Apple podcast app has that.
Oh, well, Pocket Casts does.
Wow. Yeah, we need that for this one. My goodness gracious, it's a lot of just typing.
Yeah, we're supposed to have an editor that does that for us. But
Daniel Thomas
He doesn't get paid.
All right, guys, give me one thing about Daniel Thomas and Jeremiah Denson each.
Well, Daniel Thomas, every time I hear his name, I think of Dave Thomas, the founder of Wendy's.
Sneaky okay chili at Wendy's. Not great, but it's sneaky okay. Where else are you going to get chili on a road trip?
Crystal's.
Oh, I guess that's true.
Chili doesn't seem like a great road trip.
Well, Ryan, that's where you're wrong. If you're driving, chili's terrible road trip food. If you're a passenger... Perfect road trip food.
Yeah, Daniel Thomas will always be remembered as the guy who had two picks against Alabama.
Yeah. Yeah.
So is that against Jalen or Tua?
Jalen.
Jalen, because that would have been 2016.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And then Jeremiah Denson.
He played all over the secondary.
Yeah.
It seemed like he was one of those guys that was just here forever.
Forever.
Well, it feels that way because we had Jalen Denson before him.
Yeah.
Different Denson, though. That was D-E-N-S-O-N.
So Jeremiah's, though, he's the one that got hurt at Texas A&M on that cheap shot.
Yes.
And that's part of why he's been here so long is
right.
He's been recovering from injuries. And but, yeah, I mean, just the two of them together, solid. Solid pair of safeties.
We'll
try a good safety play for a long time now.
The thing I think of when the both of them is my God, we're going to miss these guys.
Yeah.
We've had two guys playing there for a while, and now they're gone. But, hey, that's a position where these guys can go undrafted, and then they can end up having a really long career in the NFL. So, hopefully that happens for them.
Yeah, Auburn's kind of had a history of having – secondary players be around in the NFL for a while. You know, Jonathan Jones is still around. I feel like Josh Holsey was around for a couple years.
He's now
Holsey's on the staff now. I don't know if we ever mentioned that. But
his granddad makes excellent ribs.
Where at?
At the tailgate.
Oh, okay.
tailgated with the Halseys a few times.
Good to know. Well, do we want to talk about the wide receiver on the list here at the end?
Yeah, man. Aaron Sipos?
Yeah.
Played out of position his entire college career. Now, that's the thing. Gus has often used non-punters to punt. Cam punted a bunch of times. Bo Nix has punted in games. And so, lining up a wideout to punt for weeks and weeks and weeks was actually just out of necessity. We didn't have a punter on the roster.
So long. Well, was it that? Was it a long con?
Maybe. But all I know is that Gus likes to have guys that can do more than one thing. You don't want to waste a full scholarship on a guy who can just do one thing. So you get a guy who can play a couple of positions, and then you basically got an extra scholarship. Aaron Sipos, wide receiver, low on the depth chart at wideout, gets his chance in the biggest game of the year. I don't know if somebody was hurt or what, but Gus puts him out there, and man alive, if it didn't send Nick Saban into fits. Won the game. Aaron Sipos won the game without catching a pass. It was unbelievable work by a wideout.
There's a football equivalent of war for baseball. His would just be through the roof.
Oh, yeah.
He played one snap on offense and took down Alabama.
Absolutely, he did.
Yeah.
Not to mention, he can punt the ball a little bit, too.
Not a great passer.
I'm sad we never got to really see him lay a lick on anybody.
Or throw a ball.
He threw one, and it was nowhere close.
No, it was not good. That did not end well.
Yeah,
I'm just really sad we didn't get to see him just absolutely lay somebody out.
I mean, you watch his highlights from Aussie Rules. Like he can run with the ball. Hard. I would like to see him run with the ball at some point, too.
Yeah, I'm sure he's fast.
He is fast. Carlson,
surely. Isn't he also like 35?
He's like 26, 27. Oh, I think.
Okay. Pretty old.
He's older than me.
He could rent a car. I don't know. I don't know how that works if you're a foreign
national. Are we still going? I thought we ended it there.
No, we're still going.
We're still
going.
Okay.
What?
I mean, maybe we should have.
Happy 420, guys.
Yeah, no joke. Somebody told me that he said that the least favorite thing about coronavirus is it robbed everyone of 420 jokes.
It did.
Now, I don't know if that's the worst thing about coronavirus.
The whole month was for of the many things that is robbed us of.
Among the problems.
Right. There was a whole month of just, there could have been great memes shared.
Yeah. No, instead we get coronavirus memes.
I had a thought today, though. The date for April 20th is becoming too corporate.
I guess.
Well, you've got a ton of corporations tweeting out 420 jokes today that I saw.
Oh, dude, this bike company that I follow, not only do they every year make a 420 kit, bike kits you can buy, but this year they released, when you on a road bike, you have to wrap up your handlebars with tape. And then you put a little cap at the end because the handlebars have holes on each end. Their cap have a pipe built in.
This is straight out of Dazed and Confused.
Yeah, one has a pipe and the other has a little stash.
Huh.
They tweeted that out. I'm like, man, a lot. We're
through the looking glass.
Yeah, heady times.
And the wormhole. I'm just mixing my metaphors here.
Yeah. We're through the looking hole.
Is it the hole that the worms from Tremors? Looking hole.
We're through the worm glass.
The worm? The looking hole.
The looking hole. Judd, look through that looking hole. Tell me what you see. All right, guys. I'll talk to you guys next week.
All right.
Adios.